It might be discouraging to some, but they were so on fire. They just said, that's all right, we're just going to keep on going. And on New Year's Day of 1858, they saw their first convert. You know, kind of like the dollar bill in the business store that they frame and stick up on the wall. Yeah, we got one! We got one! And so this guy got saved, and he started praying with them. Now they had five. And so they began praying and praying and praying. And more people started coming. And over the course of a year, they had 50 people. I can see you're impressed. Try to control yourself. So they prayed for, I guess at this point, it's a year and 3 months. They prayed and they had 50 people that had gotten saved and began to come and pray with them. Now they've got 50 people praying. But all of a sudden, the direction of their prayer started changing. They started praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They prayed that God would move like he had in days of old. They wanted to see the Holy Ghost poured out upon Ireland and upon their families and upon their friends and move in a powerful way. And that's what they began praying for. And do you know they received opposition and ridicule and criticism from the church who said, you're not supposed to pray for that stuff. That happened on the day of Pentecost. It was a one-time event. It cannot be repeated. Theologically, you guys are way off base. You're misled at best, maybe even worse. You guys need to just knock it off. And they came down on them really hard, but these guys, they didn't know it better, I guess. They were just undaunted. They said, fine, whatever, we're going to keep praying. You have it your way, we'll have it our way. God, send a revival, Lord. Pour out your power, pour out your spirit. Move upon this place. And they would not be denied. They didn't care who thought what about them? They just knew that they had to cry out to God. He put that fire and that burden inside of them. And so they kept on praying. And people started getting saved all the more. And people started coming all the more until they began to outgrow that schoolhouse. And people began having prayer meetings in their homes and in their barns and in their schools and in their places of work. And prayer meetings began to break out all over Ireland. And so people just began coming soon. There were about 100 prayer meetings a week in that general area going on. Every week, 100 separate little prayer meetings packed to the gills with people seeking God. Churches began getting flooded as people began getting saved. So, you know, they're coming to the prayer meetings, they're saved. Now they start going to church on Sunday and there's no room for them. The churches are starting to overflow. And then in 1859, the whole thing broke wide open. I mean, it just began pouring out all across Great Britain and Wales and England and Scotland and Ireland and all these different places. Massive outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And there's a Pentecostal historian named Keith Malcolmson, and this is how he describes what happened. I've sort of condensed this. He said, the revival spread out across the whole land, family by family, village by village, town by town. Within weeks, 10,000 were converted. When this revival hit Ballymena, it was dramatic and it was sudden. One minister who was away for only 2 days from the town returned to find a great stir. Many families had not gone to bed for 2 to 3 days. Everything seemed at a standstill, and noises of crying out for mercy or singing of praise came from many homes night and day. One minister said, the difficulty used to be to get people into the church. The difficulty now is to get them out. I guess they didn't want to go home. They'd come and they'd stay and they'd pray and they'd pray some more and hang out. Praise God. Large open air meetings were held everywhere. I read at one place there were sometimes up to 25,000 people attending these open air meetings. One unusual physical manifestation was the prostrations when men and women, sometimes as great multitudes, would be struck down under the conviction and power of God, crying out in agony of soul and would rise up again, born of the Spirit, redeemed and forgiven. As well, some fell into trances, others had visions. And check this out, the impact. The life-changing and society-changing results were very evident. A great blow came to the drinking houses of the land. as drunkards were convicted and saved. Even whole distilleries were closed. Crime dropped by half within months as the land came under the influence of God's workings. And I love this part. The Roman Catholic Church sold holy water to protect their people from this strange work, or as they called it, the revival devil, an alarming contagious disease. But they did warn their people that even this holy water could not protect them if they dared to venture into any of these meetings. Does anything inside of you hunger to see God move like that? Does anything inside of you just cry out, enough of the status quo, enough playing church, I want to see God move in my generation? I am tired of seeing multitudes of people drop into hell as funeral after funeral after funeral goes by. Papers filled with obituaries of the lost. And I want to see multitudes come to Christ and get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost and become solid, grounded, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled disciples of the living God. Does anything inside of you want to see that? I want to see that. I am grateful for every little crumb that falls from the table, and I will gratefully take it from God, but something inside of me cries out for the main course. Something inside of me wants to feast upon the goodness of God and His outpoured power. Man. They estimate that in the revival of Great Britain in 1859 in Ireland, 100,000 people were saved. In Wales, 100,000 people were saved. In Scotland, 300,000 estimated were saved, and even more than that in England. And I am shocked that until a few months ago, I never even heard of this thing. Where is the cry for revival? I want to see this in our generation. I want them to say, man, if the Lord tarries 2009, 2008, you should have seen what was happening in Queenstown. Praise God. I mean, you know, this place where these guys started in Ireland was a nowhere place. It might have been Calzone or something. It wasn't a big city. These weren't big-time people. They were a bunch of nobodies. Just a bunch of dudes from Ireland. They didn't have any credentials. They didn't have any following. They weren't educated in the things of God. They just had a passion for prayer and revival. Man. And it is amazing that one of the most powerful, when you look at New York City, and you look at Ireland at that time, one of the most powerful revivals ever hit the church that saved multitudes on two continents and ultimately affected the entire world as missionaries and evangelists would be sent out from these places where all this revival was taking place, that this earth-shaking, cataclysmic move of God started with a bunch of ordinary men that just got impassioned for God. Handful of guys, five in total, started this massive thing. God moved on a half a dozen guys and changed the course of history. I just want to cry, man. That's revival! That is revival. That's why I've been preaching this stuff week after week, because God has gotten a hold of something inside of me that won't be denied. I want to see this thing, this revival. I am captured by it. I am in awe of what God can do through a bunch of folks like us. Like some nobody dude like me out of Denton in Queenstown, of all places. Praise God. This was not a movement of the church. Think about this. It wasn't the church at large. And I mean, the church was established. We had churches all over the place. We had boards and committees and presbyteries and overseers. And this was not a bunch of the leadership of the church getting together, planning something out, holding committees and organizing this and, you know, scheduling that and promoting this. They didn't have, you know, massive, you know, well, they didn't even have television back then, but they didn't have commercials and radio spots and the whole nine yards or whatever they did back then. Some dude put out a bunch of posters at one time. The other people just started praying. This was not a creation. This was not something devised by the church. This was just some folks. How many people here are just some folks? How many people here would then qualify for God to use them for something like this? Could you be qualified? Raise your hand. Do you want to be qualified? Do you want God to use even you for such a time as this? And we need this now. We desperately need this, especially in America. I mean, yes, all over the world. I mean, there are unthinkable things going on all over the world. Frightening things going on all over the world. I mean, Russia was just talking about, just I think it was last night I read on the news, they were talking about the possibility of nuking Poland if we put a missile system in there. They say, you put a missile defense system in there, we're going to nuke it out. Last night. But aside from those things, in our own country, when you see the depravity and the dysfunction and the pain, the broken homes and the entire generation of teens that are being lost. They were saying the other day, just walk through a school. You want to get a sense of despair? Walk through a high school somewhere. And it will rock your world to see the emptiness and the lostness and the dysfunction of the children who are just, their families have been broken several times over. They don't care about the Lord. They never heard about the Lord, the gospel. They don't even know from square one. Praise God. These simple, ordinary men. And you know what? There's a lot of things the churches do that are good. And I am grateful for everything that we're involved in, man. Yes, we need discipleship. We need programs. We need Sunday services. We need all the different things that we're doing. And those things are very, very good. And I don't want to diminish any of those things. But you know what? There's only one thing that can rock the world the way these men rock the world, and that's prayer. You can have stack all those good, necessary things on one side, and you can put prayer on the other, and prayer will outweigh everything every time.